From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome, News OK listeners, to the world's most delicious podcast. I think I like that. I think we can stick with that.
It's better than tasty.
Yeah, tasty. Tasty's kind of like zany.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're the Top Chef podcast, or Top Chef Masters Edition, whatever you want to call it. We're really winding down to the end here. We skipped last week because we were all just really lazy. And, you know, besides that, the episode just wasn't anything like the one we got last night. Way better. It's big time. The finale is set. And our man, Chef Rick, is there. So, yeah, I'm here. I'm Dave Cathy, the food dude, with Matt Clayton, Jennifer Moneys, to talk all about it. How's it going, gang?
Can't complain.
Doing all right.
Yeah, everybody's recovered from last night's festivities.
Yes.
Some of us better than others. Not naming
doing
names.
Doing okay.
Hey, it's a celebration.
There are no notes today.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the secretary took the night off, and that's okay. That's good. That's awesome. Before we talk about last night's great show, let's very quickly recap what we missed. Secretary Moneys?
The quick fire challenge was the gourmet burger inside.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So, you know, obviously Rick and Michael Chiarello tied in the quick fire with his Michael with his sirloin burger, Rick with his queso fundito burger,
yeah,
which looked I know where ridiculously delicious. And then the elimination was a vegan, no gluten, no
no gonna go to that party
for no. Zoe Deschanel.
Listen,
which looked like not a place I wanted to be.
Yeah, no. Zoe Deschanel, she's been on a few of those hottest girl lists.
Yeah.
Whatever the list is, she just went down. Like,
I think when she surrounded herself with people like that, I think she's bound to look just really hot. I don't know. If she asked me, I could go without milk for a few days.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. I mean,
maybe milk, but no meat, no cheese,
no fun.
It might be good. I don't know.
I mean, you'd be stuck eating rice. Ice cream, which just sounded awful.
That was
rice
cream.
Which goes right to Art,
yeah,
you know,
man.
Losing for his store-bought, awful. I love how the only good thing that they could say was he had really good strawberries.
Yeah.
I'm like, that has nothing to do with him.
Yeah, no. Yeah, Oprah probably, she would have talked her into it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
And then Michael won with his quinoa, I don't know how to say it,
pasta.
Quinoa pasta, which I thought was a kind of a cop-out, too, because, you know, I mean, it didn't do a whole lot. I mean, it goes back to the whole thing of if it tastes good, that's all they care about.
Exactly.
Because you had Art who bought his stuff, and they were like, how dare you buy this? And then you have Michael who bought his stuff, but it happened to taste good, so they were okay with it.
Yeah, if he'd have bought the Ben & Jerry's gluten-free ice cream, and they would have all been smacking their lips. And
this was great.
Yeah, what a genius idea by Art. Wow. But yeah, so poor Art, he got sent home, and Rick once again finished second, which takes us into last night's show, which we got off to a very spirited start there. Tell us about
that.
Oh, yeah, you didn't take notes last night.
But I remember. This part I at least remember,
because
the elimination round was the blindfold challenge, where they have 25 ingredients and they have to guess what they are while blindfolded, and how completely pathetic, which goes along with our theme of that these guys do absolutely nothing, you know, except to happen to make good food whenever they get it put in front of them. But
at least they know what peanut butter and ketchup tastes like.
Yeah,
you know,
there are people who did not know peanut butter.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, whatever the other, like, there were some that were crazy that I wouldn't have known.
Yeah.
But peanut butter.
Okay, here's, I got, and you know, I love Rick. Okay, we know this going in, but he missed mangoes.
Hmm.
Okay, mangoes. He called it plums, I think. Fine. But on his blog that he's keeping right now, the Root for Rick blog, where there's actually, you should check that out. It's Root, numeral 4, Rick. .com, where he talks about the different challenges and kind of some little bit of backstory, which is kind of interesting. Well, on a Q&A on that blog, the question is chocolate or vanilla? His answer, mangoes. So,
interesting.
Dude says he likes mangoes better than he likes chocolate. Or
as
vanilla.
Long as you know the mangoes are coming.
I mean,
as long as he can see them.
Was he joking because he missed mangoes and he's like embarrassed by it?
No, because this blog was written before the episode ran.
Wow. Okay.
And hey, I'm going to take him at his word. I think he probably does love mangoes.
No?
But not enough
apparently
to be able to...
Apparently only when he can see them.
Right. But other than that, Rick, we still love you. So don't... I still want to be in that patio party. Don't... You know, I'll bring my own mangoes if I have to. So Chiarello won, and not thinking he had.
Yeah.
Because he only got, seven?
Seven.
Oh, my
seven.
God.
He won with seven out of 25.
That's horrible. Yeah, that's... I dare say I think I could get in the ballpark.
Did somebody miss mayonnaise, too?
I don't know.
Did you bear miss mayonnaise? Or maybe
you bear missed almost all of them. He only got like four.
Yeah. Yeah. Like some like almonds, of course they got those. They could feel them. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's an almond.
I was just really disappointed Anita didn't get hoisin sauce.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Well, I actually thought that it was sad that they edited it that way.
Yeah.
Because it was really bad that it's like, I mean, if she is Asian. She cooks Asian food. And they specifically showed her not getting that.
Right. It's true.
What are they trying to say?
They're going to kick her out of the club.
I mean, it's like if they had like chorizo there and like they did that for Rick or something, you know? I mean, it's just like they
clearly
threw her under the bus with the editing there.
Oh, yeah. Hickory House barbecue sauce here. Yeah, I've never had this in my life. Yeah, so anyway. So, yeah, so Michael got moving to the final challenge, it was a huge catering event, 200 people, and the sous chefs were all past Top Chef contestants.
Who I guarantee could have gotten more than seven.
Yes, and in fact, that they always have, as I recall. Mm-hmm. So Michael got the first pick. That was his big deal, and he, of course, took Fabio.
Yeah.
Which was no surprise at all. I mean, they're paisans. So, yeah, that was definitely going to happen the whole time.
By the way, the quote of the night for Fabio was sweating like a mountain goat on the beach.
Yes. I am a sweater.
Yeah. Sweating like a mountain goat on the beach.
Like a goat of the mountain on the beach. Trying to figure it out. It was great. It was great, yeah. Huge mistake, by the way. You got Richard Blaze there. He's the man. He's the guy.
Well, and you weren't even talking about that, you know, Michael Chiarello, like, put the, you know, in order of, like, the other chefs, like, were talking to them, wanted to, like, you know, coordinate styles, this type of thing. Yeah. Michael Chiarello made everyone say his name properly.
Yeah, he was Eminem for about 5 minutes.
Made everyone, like, dice a carrot or something, you know, I mean, like, went through, like, an obstacle course of challenges just to get the lovely opportunity to, you know, be underneath him.
Yeah, well, and I have loathed Spike from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think the guy's a joke. And he gets on there. I will say, I thought it was great that he refused to cut the carrot.
That is funny.
It's like, dude, I can cut the carrot.
Well, and Dale, we have to talk about Dale going after him.
Dale, who was picked by Anita, if I'm correct.
I think so.
Yeah, that's right.
He was on Anita's team. So, yeah, the way the preview made it look like is that Dale was actually working for Chiarello, or I'm sorry, Chiarello, because he said if anybody can't pronounce his name, they're out. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to do that at work today. Nice to see.
Let's all try that.
Right.
Let's see how that works. Anyway, so, yeah, there was some dispute over the refrigerator, you know, refrigerator space, and it looked like we were maybe going to go to blows there for a minute.
Dale went after him.
Yeah. What you going to do? He went a little straight on
it. It was weird, actually. Yeah.
But how sad is it that I'm sure Dale's what? Young 30s, maybe mid-30s at most. That's got to be a little embarrassing when the nation thinks that you're going to get punked by Michael Chiarello. You know, that had
yeah.
At least I got rid of the Gail Green question.
Yeah.
Finally. We know she slept with Elvis. Let's move on from that. So at least there was something new this week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like because, you know, that was a tough one because Dale was clearly being a punk, but he was also. Some amount of dispute was warranted. I mean, Chiarello was being...
There was definitely some weird editing going on,
too. Yeah,
well, and it was
you
didn't see all of what was happening, for sure.
And I wondered that last, what are you going to do? I wondered if that was like from earlier and they threw another one on it.
Right.
Because at that point, seriously, when he said it that last time, as depicted, I would think that a frying pan across the face would have been completely okay.
Square in the glasses.
Because otherwise, you just look like you're on national TV being a pansy.
Well, right. Why would you be? And I mean, someone like Dale, who clearly is going to want to work in a restaurant someday.
Maybe in Napa Valley would be a really good place to work.
I don't know. Even if it's warranted, if Michael Chiarello is acting like a total jerk, don't make the guy mad.
I guess that was my problem with the whole premise was that these guys like Spike and Richard Blaze, who still should have won, apparently. Yes. He still thinks he got screwed.
That's a whole he choked. Right. And he's the guy who actually admitted, I choked.
And, you know, he gets, like, I guess it was good. We actually had some excitement from it. You know.
For sure. For
some
sure.
rumbles.
Drama.
But, right.
But, yeah. But, yeah. He just burned a bridge to Napa Valley. I've been to Napa Valley.
Several of them did.
I would bag groceries for a living to live up there.
Never afford it.
Yeah, I know. I would just steal. Right. It would be great.
And if you just said his name repeatedly, you could just live with him. I mean, no.
Right. It's crazy. So now he has no chance of ever working up there and for anybody affiliated with Michaels. So really bad move. Yet another. Dale was really good about that in the season he was in there of blowing up at just the wrong time and
foot
ruining.
Foot in a mouth.
You're right. So, but hey, makes for great TV. I'm sure the folks at Bravo are very happy with
And Jamie still can't chuck an oyster, by the way. Good
I love that, though. That's Anita, ridiculous. She's like, I forgot how much she sucks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I fired her.
Yeah, you're terrible. Move on.
Duh. God, I'm such an idiot. How could I have possibly forgotten that? Yeah, that was a very interesting dynamic. But yeah, I tweeted last night that Chicks Dig, what's his name, Hubert. You could just see.
He made 18 different things for 200 people. The guy had to win.
Yeah.
He
had Antonia on his team. And what was the other one's name? But while they were in judgment, they were just sitting there behind Hubert, just sort of glowing because he's so nice and so French and so gracious. Mm-hmm. Well, you could just see they love him.
Yeah. Well, and the one thing that everyone else did except for Michael Chiarello, which I think ultimately hurt him, was it seemed like Hubert and Rick especially got the input of their sous chefs. Like, you know, Rick gave a whole dish to Michael,
to
Blaze. Yeah. And Michael was just giving orders the whole time.
Oh yeah, he looked like a drill sergeant. It was,
and then he used the cop out at the end of they cut it from the wrong part of the pan. Yeah. They told him to cut it from the edge. That's just like, come
here's
on,
an idea.
Dude.
Why don't you make it right?
How about you make the whole thing good?
Yeah,
just the edge. Right?
You make half a roast, so half of it's good, and you throw the rest away.
And I came to this conclusion this morning. His show is still on the Food Network.
Yeah,
he's not on there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's that whole chef thing about being on the Food Network. I think a lot of this is about, I'm still a good chef, and I'm going to act this way to show that I can.
Yeah, he was trying to show how macho he was, kind of, or something like that. Or,
I still have it.
Which is ironic, considering the week before, if you remember, it was like a Rick Bayless love fest.
Oh,
the
totally.
Guy was like... Yeah. You know, Michael was just heaping praise on Rick Bayless. Like, I want to be Rick Bayless, you know? Yes,
I defer. Well, and frankly, I think he should still continue to feel that way. That's just me, though. So, yeah, it's crazy. Michael, just by the skin of his teeth, because by winning the first challenge, I think that's what saved him.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because he just barely beat her. But the big news to me is, again, Rick finishes second.
Right.
I mean, he gets almost as high a score as you could possibly get, only to be... perfect game thrown at him.
Hubert made 18 things for 200 people.
Yeah, and then, part of that we left out is, at one point they had to... They were told, okay, the event has moved. It's going to be an outdoor event. Pack up in the middle of their cooking. Mm-hmm. Pack up everything and move. Okay, huge problem there. Once they got there, okay, now you got to lose a sous chef. Okay, so one less worker. Oh, and finally, it's going to be outdoors.
And Anita was planning a raw bar.
Yeah, and she had a raw bar, which by the time she got out there was probably about a half-baked bar.
Which is actually, at least last night, it was, Hubert cooking French food. It was Rick cooking Mexican food. It was Anita cooking Asian food.
That's
right. And it was Michael cooking Italian food.
That's right. And, unfortunately for Anita, what she had... I mean, she obviously had organizational problems, and she had Jamie trying to shuck oysters poorly. But having the event outside just destroyed her concept. Yeah. Then there's no way. What's she going to do? Saute it all real quick? I mean, there's just, that was unfortunate. That said, she was almost out of the show last week, so...
Which is surprising. I mean, I really thought from the very beginning that she was one of the strongest ones, and she really...
Too. But no, now she's gone. Now she's gone, and we're down to Rick and Hubert and Michael Chiarello. And so it's going to be a big time. And on that note, I've talked to Chef Ryan Parrott, the co-owner of the Iguana Mexican Grill, and it looks like he'll be hosting a finale party over there. Well, actually, it'll be two pronged because we'll have the premiere of
the new
Top Chef.
The world's ugliest Top Chef.
Yes. Now, is it running before? Did you guys catch it?
It's before.
So it'll precede the finale.
I think it's 8:15 to 9:15.
8 to 9:15. Okay.
And then the finale is 9:15 to 10:15.
Excellent. So yeah, the Iguana is going to host that party, and you know, I've got some feelers out to talk to our man Rick. I actually got an email from him this morning. We're on our way. Yes. Oh, yes. You will see me on PBS. You will.
I wonder if he'll make you say his name.
Say my name. It's
just terrible. All I want is a recreation of the corn tamales. That's all I'm requesting.
Let's just see. But anyway, so we've got some big things coming up, and we'll have more details on this watch party. And in the meantime, you know, it's we've got that. Now, obviously, I'm going to be rooting for Rick. But if I were my money, I'd have to be on Hubert. What do you guys think?
I think ultimately, as long as Michael doesn't win, I'll be happy.
What do you think, Matt? I don't know. I go back and forth. I think Michael has the most approved still, mm-hmm. and that says a lot.
So he's got a little more incentive.
Yeah. Underdog. But, rooter over here.
But I think I'd like to see Rick win. Oh, yeah. I think that would mean the most, probably.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Oklahoma City pride. He's a Sooner.
Plus, that means he's still better than Skip. So, I mean, ultimately, that's the most important thing.
That's right. He is the most important Bayless.
Right.
Skip is the weakest link or, you know, whatever. So, I don't know. Rick, I'm sure you're tight with your brother. We don't mean to, you know. Defend. But, hey, that's what he does for a living.
Right.
So, we're just playing right into the shtick. So, don't hold that against us. But anyway, folks, look forward to the show next week, and come on out to the Iguana and visit. I'll be there, and there'll be a lot of good food. He's going to be recreating Chef Parrott's going to recreate the lingua taco that Rick won with, and he's got a couple others up his sleeve. Jennifer, I know for a fact, is hoping that it has something to do with tamales, so we'll see what we can figure out. Until then, what did we come up with our cutaway phrase?
I don't think we ever did.
We didn't? Well, I guess that's it then.
Maybe we should work on that.
Yeah. We'll have one ready for next week.
In between corn tamales.
We'll see you next time.